Well, it's Monday. It's time to check in, as we do every Monday, with the folks at Cranes Detroit Business to see what top stories they're covering. The Cranes Detroit interview brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Learn more at michiganbusiness.org. Joining us on the JR Morning Live line, as always, our friend Mike Lee, managing editor of Cranes Detroit Business. Mike, good morning.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, Mike, are you there?
Seems like not. No.
Mike's not there.
I hate it when they clip the Dixie cups like that. Well, while we're getting Mike plugged in here, I mean, what a windfall this has been for Oakland University.
It's been huge, and it's been huge. The exposure and, you know, money that's going to come.
Greg Campy said that their website crashed after the win of people trying to buy some stuff. So that's pretty cool.
The merch was going crazy.
Yes.
I believe. All right. Mike, are you there? Good morning.
I think I'm here.
I hear you loud and clear. Listen, yeah, we were just talking about this. You know, as we watch this brief Cinderella story of Oakland University winning the first round of 64 March Madness in history of the school, I mean, you guys really took a look at the financial implications of a victory like that for colleges.
Yeah, this is interesting. I mean, I've followed Oakland University basketball programs since they moved up to Division I in the late 90s. And, you know, it's Greg Campy, the coach there, has built something that's really, really amazing. And they knocked off Kentucky last week and came within a hair of making the Sweet 16. Financially, that actually means real money for the college. We looked at, you know, that single victory that they got means that the Horizon League, the conference that OU plays in, gets $300,000 a year for 6 years to split among its member colleges. The conference can decide how that division is made. And obviously there's the additional benefit to OU of the attention that was paid for them. I mean, you heard people talking about realizing that Oakland University is in Michigan and not in California. it was really fun on Saturday night seeing OU's great president, Dr. Ora Peskovitz, who was probably the fan in the stands who was most fired up of all. Sitting there on the sidelines. So, you know, it's really good attention for a mid-major university that has big ambitions.
Good for recruiting too, Mike.
Yes.
Greg's going to be able to get some good guys coming in later. My question is about these fast food stations inside gas stations. My friend over at Local 4, Jason Colthorpe, does gas station gourmet stories sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is something you're seeing more and more. Gas stations installing, you know, full-fledged fast food operations, a lot of them from local operators. There's Soroki's Chicken, Tasty Burgers, a number of others that are growing. It's a cheap way for the fast food companies to expand, because a gas station build-out doesn't cost nearly as much as a standalone fast food restaurant. For the gas stations, it helps them bring in customers, which is going to be increasingly important as we transition to electric vehicles, which are going to need to stop at gas stations very often. So they need other ways to get people into their convenience stores, because that's how they make their money. They make their money selling soda and chips and now burgers and fried chicken. And don't really make that much money off the gasoline. The gasoline is more a way of getting people just to stop and shop. So I think you'll see more and more of this, and it's becoming a big deal also because Sheetz, the East Coast gasoline chain, is planning to move into the area in a big way. They're known for their fast food. So it's a competitive market for gas stations, and only going to get more so.
You're highlighting what may be one of the biggest developments in Detroit, especially here in the News Center area, and that is Henry Ford's big development, with your Newsmaker of the Year being Bob Riney.
Yes, we toasted Bob last week at a luncheon. Henry Ford has so many things going on besides the hospital expansion. It's almost $3 billion project. They are also merging with Ascension Health's Michigan hospitals, which will make for a very large healthcare chain. And Bob is such a fascinating story. He is Mr. Henry Ford. He's worked for the health system for 45 years, rising all the way to CEO. He's done and seen it all there, and broke a little bit of news last week. They're planning to break ground this spring on the $400 million research building that is going to house the Dan and Jennifer Gilbert's Neurofibromatosis Institute, along with some other research functions. So we'll look for that soon, targeting a fall groundbreaking for the new hospital tower they're planning there. So, Bob had all kind of things going on in 2023 and a lot more planned this year. So it's an exciting time for Henry Ford.
And, you know, Mike, you talk about all the housing that's being built here around the country and even here in the city. There's always talk about making sure you have affordable housing as well.
Yeah, whenever there's a large development, there's always a push to set aside some of the housing units as, quote, affordable, which is actually a pretty narrowly defined thing in terms of income levels and whatnot. But we took a look at a study done by the Federal Reserve that shows that, you know, even if you install only market rate housing, expensive housing, like what's being constructed at the, you know, the former Joe Louis Arena site where apartments are $2,000 a month and up, it still has a downstream effect because it increases the housing supply. Essentially what happens if you build 100 new market rate units, that leads to vacancies in lower income neighborhoods, which makes that housing available. It's kind of a simple supply and demand thing, but it does suggest that getting housing built, even if it's expensive housing, has benefits for people who need more affordable housing.
Mike, you posted just a few minutes ago a Kirk Pinhoe piece that asked the question, local banks, are they in trouble? Because some of them are carrying more than 50% of their loan portfolio in commercial real estate, which we know is a bit of a bubble with, you know, the fallout from COVID-19 very quickly. What's the answer there? How worried should we be?
The good news is that most of these banks are not very big banks, so there's unlikely to be contagion. But could you see it? You know, when you've got all your eggs in one basket, in commercial real estate loans, you know, a couple of those bigger loans go bad at a smaller bank, that can mean big trouble. So it's something we'll need to keep an eye on.
All right. Mike Lee, managing editor of Crain's Detroit Business. Always a pleasure speaking with you. And we'll read about these and other stories in Crain's Detroit Business. Have a great week.
You too.
All right. Coming up, you know, they lost to NC State in the second round, but that win over Kentucky will forever be felt on the campus at Rochester Oakland University. We're going to be speaking with the Oakland University president, Ora Hirsch-Peskovich, coming up at 6:35.